From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to the Wildcast podcast. I'm Michael Lev with the Arizona Daily Star. I'm here with Zach Rosenblatt and Justin Spears. As you can imagine, we're going to be talking about Khalil Tate a little bit today. That guy, everyone's talking about him nationwide, literally. He's reeling in awards. I think he won the Heisman this week, actually. He's being shouted out by the likes of LeBron James, you know, among others. So first of all, though, let's hear what Rich Rodriguez had to say about Khalil and his athleticism, his ability to make people miss during today's news conference. Then we'll come back and talk about Khalil's performance against Colorado.
We even mentioned to him and all the quarterbacks back in camp that you know, they have the ability to make somebody miss, and that's as fast as I've seen Khalil run. You know, he's we were talking about today watching film. I think he's about 15 to 20 pounds lighter than he was last year, so he's in better shape and he's running a little faster. And he's got to continue that. And all our quarterbacks are about running smart. And there was even the one time that he broke open that he probably could have kept running if he'd have trusted his speed and he made some moves and still got in there. But you know, he's a very athletic guy. He's got a, you know, I thought what he did well, you know, both in the few times we passed the ball when he ran, was he saw the field exceptionally well. He's always been pretty good at that, but this was the best I've seen him in practice or the games as far as seeing the field, and it led to a big-time performance.
All right, you heard from Rich Rodriguez there talking about Khalil Tate, presumably his new quarterback. We'll get to that in a second. But there were a lot of things that jumped off the screen when rewatching that game last night with Khalil. His athleticism, his shiftiness, his field vision, his decision-making, the way he just seemed to be gliding around the field at almost just a different speed from everybody else. I'm going to start with Justin, who, you know, you guys watched the game on TV. I was out there in Boulder. Justin, your impressions, what stood out to you the most about Khalil's performance?
Just kind of how poised he was. Because as soon as Brandon Dawkins got hurt, he just came into the game, and you can just see just straight from his eyes that he was ready to go. And that's something that you didn't really see last year with Khalil, because in all the situations that Khalil Tate played in, he was just thrown into the mix, just thrown in the fire, trying to say, hey, do something. Whereas this game, I mean, even against USC last year when his first career start, it was a desperate game for Khalil. This time he comes in on the second drive, or the first drive?
First drive.
And that game, so essentially he started that game. And he just took control of the offense. You could kind of tell the offense had a little bit more pep to their step. And, I mean, like you said, Michael, his vision and how he glided around the field, I mean, he took that game and just made it his. And he definitely seized the moment.
Yeah, I was impressed with – he had a sense of purpose when he came in. You know, you're talking about how last year it's just kind of, hey, Khalil, we need you to go in. I don't think he ever expected to play last season.
Yeah,
I mean, he was
finished your last high school class like last week, but right. You have to play right now.
Right, and I don't think he had great expectations for himself. I don't think that anyone had really thought that he was going to, you know, kind of light the world on fire as a freshman. But a year in the system, in better shape, better knowledge of the playbook, better supporting cast, I would say, healthier. You know, having Nick Wilson and J.J. Taylor available, which he did not have in those games last year, I think really makes a big difference too. Zach, I'll go to you now. What jumped out to you the most when you watched that game Saturday night?
Well, so you guys were talking about last year, he kind of showed a little bit of the swagger he has when he scored against USC and he threw up the fight on Zimbo. I mean, that kind of gave you a little preview of, like, this kid's personality. Like, he's just having fun out there. And you guys mentioned that nothing flustered him, and I think that kind of – it just seemed like the moment sometimes got a little too big for guys like Anu Solomon and Brandon Dawkins. Maybe they're overwhelmed when they were starting from the beginning. You know, when like Brandon Dawkins was inserted in the game against ASU, he had like a similarly impressive performance, so there was a lot of mistakes. But yeah, I mean, just how fast Khalil is. You and I were talking about this a little bit before. I probably looked better in person, I don't know, but on TV, like, he just looked like the fastest dude I've ever seen. It was especially on the one play where he cut one way and then he cut the other way, and just his knowledge and instincts are like we just haven't seen that. I think he might be the first like legitimate like freak dual threat quarterback that Rich Rod has had since coming to Arizona, and that we saw at West Virginia what can happen when that's the case.
Right, and bear in mind, I mean, Brandon Dawkins is a very good athlete in his own right. A little bit different, a little bit different in the sense that he's more of a long strider, you know, like kind of a straight line type of runner, as opposed to someone who's going to make guys miss in the hole. And Khalil needed to do that a couple times, because a couple of those plays, like Colorado had him snuffed out, and he was just making guys look foolish right there at the point of attack. Now, looking at the depth chart that they put out for this week, it of course says Khalil Tate or Brandon Dawkins. Now, I'm going to go out on the record here and say that that is gamesmanship 100%. Rich is just trying to make Jim Mora and his coaching staff prepare.
Because Dawkins is going to start, is what you're saying.
Yeah, right. He's going to make them prepare for both quarterbacks, which they probably would anyway. But it just kind of makes no sense for him to come out and declare that Khalil's going to be the starter, maybe leave a little bit of air of mystery.
Jim Mora even said in his availability in L.A. that he doesn't imagine that he'll find out who is Arizona starting. It's not like Rich is going to tell him, so...
Right, and I mean, I think all of us would be completely floored, and to all of Tucson would be like in a complete state of shock if anyone other than Khalil Tate.
The country might be looking. The country might be.
Yeah, well, I know everyone's going to be paying a little bit more attention to what Arizona is doing now. Justin, what did you make of the depth chart situation?
However, Khalil Tate was the first one listed, so it's Khalil Tate or Brandon Dawkins. Usually, it's the other way around.
Some trickery.
So some trickery. I love that word. So. Yeah, Khalil Tate's going to be the starter. I mean, we can all agree with that. Brandon Dawkins, he had his moment. And unfortunately for him, it was an injury rather than him making mistakes that realized Khalil Tate is the right man for the job.
We all kind of thought he would get till halftime to kind of show. He didn't really get to show anything because he got hurt. How many plays in was it even? It was like
two.
Yeah. No, I think it was eight. It was about eight or nine plays in.
Did he go through a full drive and then?
It was near the end of the first drive. Okay. There were a couple more plays after that. Right around midfield. I watched the replay several times to try to figure out what happened to him exactly. You know, he got knocked over and he kind of did a somersault. And when he came up from the somersault, the bench, the metal bench, like literally kind of hit him in the chest, you know, kind of right under his arm. So I think he's probably at some sort of a, you know, chest contusion or got the wind knocked out of him or something of that nature. It didn't look like it was a concussion type of hit. But obviously he was shaken up. And then once Khalil started showing some of what he could do, I mean, Rich Rod had no choice. He had to stick with him. So I wonder, guys, you know, not to get ahead of ourselves here because we're going to go into all in on previewing UCLA a little bit later in the podcast. But what if Khalil struggles a little bit in the beginning of the game on Saturday, throws an interception or fumbles or does something like, do you feel like Rich is going to be a little bit more patient with him because of what happened to Colorado? Do you think he'll have a short leash knowing that he's got Brandon available? How do you think that might play out if that happens?
One thing that I thought was really interesting, I mean, this is just college football in a nutshell. It's what have you done for me lately? But it's just funny how quickly just the mood outside of the program changed just off one game. Like what everybody probably needs to take a step back and realize is, number one, Khalil didn't start the game out. They weren't necessarily preparing for legal. Based off the way Colorado was talking after the game, it didn't sound like they prepared for him at all. And then on top of that, Arizona's defense had its worst game of the season, probably. And now you're going against a UCLA team that's down by comparison to recent years, but Arizona hasn't beaten them under Rich Rod, and they always have more talent than Arizona. That's just a fact. So I think the biggest thing is next week. We're going to find out what Khalil Tate's made of this week. I think when a team has a full week to prepare for him, he's going against some talented defenders who are, you know, maybe not as athletic as him, but close to it at least. So, I think just based off the way he performs this week, I think he has to have a long leash. You can't just go right back to Brandon Dawkins right after that.
And is there a possibility that Colorado is just overrated because defending Pac-12 South champions? And
they lost,
I mean,
a lot of guys, yeah.
For how much Arizona's offense struggled, even with a new spark in Khalil Tate, they were just giving up points after points after points.
Well, there was no fundamentals in their tackling either.
And if it wasn't for Phillip Lindsay, I mean, are we talking Arizona winning by three touchdowns here? So this is going to be a really big test, and luckily for Khalil, it's at home rather than playing at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
He made his first career start here at home last year after playing really well in relief two different times against UCLA and Utah. And he really struggled in that game against USC. Now, he did not have the supporting cast that he has now, also going up against a really good opponent, obviously, in USC, always the most talented team in the entire conference. But I made reference to this in my five takeaways this week, which everyone should check out on Tucson.com and also the Wildcaster app. I added some screenshots trying to get, trying to show my skills a little bit here. They're not the most professional screenshots that have ever been put up on the internet, but they're okay.
You don't have one of those screens where you can just draw on it while you're watching.
So. There was a drawing option, actually, but I didn't want to
I think we can expense
to
that,
do
right?
too much.
I think we can
John
expense
Madden.
That.
So anyway, my point is it's not an apples-to-apples comparison looking at Khalil last year, coming off the bench to starting versus this year coming off the bench to starting, because I think he's just in a different place as far as his comfort level, his conditioning, his confidence, all of those things. He might have shown some swagger last year, but I think it might have been kind of false swagger because, let's face it, he was 17 years old.
They had no intention of playing him at all last year.
No.
So you wonder if that helped him, though, going into now. Now he knows maybe a little bit more what to expect.
Right? Yeah, and he played almost an entire game. It was a hostile environment. I think all of those things can only help him. All right, so let's segue here into the preview portion of our podcast. UCLA, the first thing, of course, that pops to mind is Josh Rosen. Let's hear what Rich Rodriguez had to say about Josh, then we'll come back and talk about Rosen and the Bruins.
You have a quarterback that can throw, and he's an intelligent guy like he is, to make all the throws, and athletic, too. I mean, he'll make subtle movements in the pocket to buy an extra half second to throw the ball down the field. You're never out of a game. You saw that earlier. I mean, there's no question he's a top NFL draft pick. I've been impressed with his toughness. Obviously, you hear about his intelligence and his football knowledge as well. And, a guy that can throw like that, a guy that can understand football like that is always going to give you a shot. And then do with him, I wish he was already gone. But he's there at least for another half a year. Just a great player.
All right, so you heard from Rich Rod regarding Josh Rosen, who I think there's no question he's going to be a top five pick.
I thought you were saying there's no question he's going to be starting this game.
there is no question, yes, that Josh – there's no or next to Josh Rosen's name. There might be an or within the name Rosen if you shuffle the letters around a little bit, but there's no or next to his name. He's going to be a top five pick. He's going to be a Jet or a Giant or a Charger or a Steeler or something.
Do you see the Larry David interview that he did on, I think, Dan Patrick?
I heard about that, but why don't you tell everyone about it?
Exactly. Justin and I referenced this the other day. So Larry David, who's a known Jets fan, I believe, he was on Dan Patrick's show, and they're asking, who do you want the Jets to get? Do you want him to get Darnold? Do you want him to get Josh Rosen? Got to go with the Jew. The most Larry David response of all time. As if you don't know, Josh Rosen sounds like Rosenblatt, of course, half my name. He's the man of our people, so we're excited to come.
He is, and he's the man as far as pocket passing quarterbacks go, I would say, in college football. I don't think there's a better pure passer in the entire game.
From the get-go, too. He was like that from the get-go.
From the get-go. This is a different type of team that Arizona will face compared to Colorado. Colorado coming into the game, actually, I think they had maybe twice as many passing yards per game as rushing yards. But you knew going into that game that you were going to get a heavy dose of Philip Lindsay, right? I mean, that's what was going to happen.
280 yards.
Coming into this game, UCLA averages 435.8 yards passing per game and only 115 yards rushing. Obviously, you should be a little bit alarmed at how porous Arizona's run defense was. But this is a game where they're going to have to rush the passer and defend the pass. Rich Rod said they didn't get home nearly enough with their five-man pressures against Colorado. I would agree with that. Justin, how would you approach facing the likes of Josh Rosen on Saturday?
Yeah, you have to get pressure on him because, when I look back at all of UCLA's games, for how smart and just kind of how cool and collected that he is, Josh Rosen, he's going to go in there and use his brain, and Arizona's got to get some pressure on him. You got to make him really kind of outthink himself. And the only team that I really saw add pressure to him this year was Memphis. Even in that amazing comeback game against Texas A&M, that first half, they were destroying Josh Rosen. Every chance that they got, they were in Josh Rosen's grill. And in the second half, they kind of got away from it. And they started playing conservative defense. And we all know what happened after that. And the only team I saw that did add pressure was Memphis. I mean, if you're Rich Rodriguez, you got to look at that game and kind of take the blueprint from Memphis and apply it to them.
To the defense. Zach, do you have faith in the Arizona pass rush that they can do that? I mean, they had 4 sacks in the first half against Montez, and they, you know, Colorado kind of shifted to more of a run-oriented attack. But as Rich Rod mentioned today during his press conference, when they did pass, the rush really wasn't getting home. I think it's been a pretty consistent trait since Marcell Yates has been here. He has brought pressures. He has brought blitzes, and they don't get home a high enough percentage of the time. And when you do that, you know, you leave the back end vulnerable. DeAndre Miller came back. I felt like that was helpful. He'll probably be better in the second game. But, I mean, who can step up within this pass rush? Can they get the pressure on Rosen that they need?
Yeah, I was just, having DeAndre Miller back helps a lot, because then you could throw him out with Kylan Wilborn. You can throw them separately, because Wilborn's probably been their best pass rusher to this point of the season, I would say. But I don't know if I necessarily have confidence in their ability to get to Josh Rosen, because he's just so smart and he can throw the ball so quick and accurately that I think they're going to have some trouble with him. So I personally think it's going to come down to – I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, and it might come down to Khalil Tate again. But I don't know how good UCLA's offensive line is, and they've had a pretty bad rushing attack the last couple of years. But either last year or the year before, UCLA's rushing attack still ran really well against Arizona. And as Rich Rod referenced in the press conference today, like Miles, there was that one year where Miles Jack randomly decided to play running back and had like 3 touchdowns against them. So if they can stop the run, that's good. But you need to get pressure on Josh Rosen. And to answer your question, I'm not sure I'm entirely confident that they can.
I think one player that has to have a big game is Demetrius Flanagan-Fowles. I mean, we talked about kind of everything that he can do for this defense going into this season, and he's kind of been MIA a little bit. I mean, I think he's averaged like 3 or 4 tackles a game, and there was even a couple games where he only had 2 tackles. But the thing about Demetrius is that when it's a big moment, he's out there making plays. I think he has 4 interceptions, and he also has a forced fumble. So he can make turnovers. So, and if it gets to a close point in the game where Josh Rosen has the ball with 2 minutes left, Demetrius Flanagan-Fowles has to be the guy that causes a turnover and seal it.
Yeah, I think he's going to play a really important role in this game in guarding Caleb Wilson. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that Caleb is UCLA's leading receiver, really tall tight end who started his career at USC. He was a walk-on there, and then he transferred to UCLA, and I'm pretty sure he went to Sarah, which is Khalil Tate's school. I think every great football player in the Pac-12 seemingly went to Sarah in Gardena, California. I mean, it's been like a pipeline for USC, and it was, you know, that was kind of big news when Khalil Tate decided to come here instead of going to SC, but of course he had the opportunity to play quarterback. Let me flip it around to the other side of the ball and ask you this. If you were UCLA, how would you play against Khalil Tate, Justin?
Oh, that's really tough. I mean, because if you let him sit in the pocket long enough, Khalil's going to eventually just take off and run. But, man, that is a really tough question.
I mean, I think you got to make him pass the ball, because we don't know how
it, what?
Ah, here goes the phone. But, yeah, I think you have to force him to pass and see what he can do and throw some different looks at him. And it's kind of just the model of you're playing a young quarterback who hasn't really played that much. So you have to try and confuse him as much as you can, which I think they will.
But the thing about Khalil is, even when he was forced to pass against Colorado, he was smart. He didn't make dumb decisions where he didn't make a lot of questionable throws. Once did you see a pass that Khalil threw that was questionable? The only incomplete pass was off the hands of a receiver.
Well, I think the majority of his passes were pretty short and easy.
Yeah,
But, I mean, that's
the bread and butter.
Yeah.
Those are some of the plays that Brandon wasn't
exactly,
making.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, I think that's the thing. You know, I don't think – you know, Rich has talked about his offense before, saying it's more checkers than chess. Like, and we've talked about this before, too. I don't think you have to be as good of a passer as Josh Rosen is to make this Arizona offense work. You just need to be workmanlike, make the throws that are there. They did kind of make things easy for him, I thought. I mean, there were a lot of, you know, not to get too technical here, but half-field reads, you know, where he'd roll to one side, right?
Yep.
And you don't have to read the whole field. I think the touchdown was maybe a play where he did read everything, and he had 2 guys wide open, and it was just, you know, it was pick Trevor Wood or pick Sean Brown. But I agree with you, Zach. If I were UCLA, I would try to confuse him. I would try to throw a bunch of different looks at him, try to make him hesitate a little bit. I would try my best to keep him hemmed in the pocket, if that is possible, because he's going to do most of his damage when he escapes the pocket. You know, try to turn him into a pocket passer as best you can. And if I'm Arizona, I really need to get my running game untracked with the running backs. J.J. Taylor and Nick Wilson, I think they combined for 69 yards in that game. That's really not enough. I think those guys need to get over the 100-yard mark just to keep the defense honest. You can't ask Khalil Tate to do as much as he did on a consistent basis. There needs to be some balance there. Let's just wrap. Let's wrap things up here real quick. I want to talk about Oregon State. I know they don't play Oregon State, but they parted ways with Gary Anderson today.
I could throw Rich's comments at the end.
Yeah, you can. We can hear from Rich about that. But that surprised the heck out of me, and I think everybody. Not only that it happened, but that he elected not to take the buyout. What do you make of that?
I mean, number one, the timing of it is kind of crazy. That it was a mutually agreed upon thing. We're not even halfway through the season, and they're switching coaches. I know they've been bad, but like Oregon State, and I know Oregon State was supposed to be better this year. But yeah, that shocked me. I mean, your immediate reaction is, did something happen that he gave up all his money? Because that just seems insane. Because coaches just don't do that.
Well, there probably was kind of a preseason deal between Gary Anderson and the athletic director or the president, where if you're not meeting the expectations, maybe we're just going to have to part ways. And I think leaving $12.5 million, that was part of the deal. And here we are. They only have one game against Portland State, right? Oregon State's bad. And, Michael, you were saying that they were going to be this year's Colorado. And they just haven't met those expectations. And I think it was right for Gary Anderson and Oregon State to part ways.
I love how Justin has these theories. He's kind of like Bill Simmons in that way. You know, he's just going to, like, throw it out there. There's something weird about this, and when you look back at Gary Anderson's career, he left Wisconsin, and everyone was shaking their heads. Why would you leave Wisconsin to go coach at Oregon State? And now he leaves Oregon State in the middle of the year. I mean, I know things have kind of gone off the rails, but they did show promise last year. I don't think the expectations were that they were going to go to the Rose Bowl this season. It was a very odd situation, and as Rich mentioned, and we'll listen to his comments after we wrap things up here. You know, it's a wild profession, right? I mean, you just never know what's going to happen in college or pro coaching. I think you're better off renting than owning in most cases. All right, anyway, that is our show for today. Thank you for listening to the Wildcast podcast. You can check out all of our work at Tucson.com. You can also download the free Wildcaster app. Everything on there right now is free. You do not have to be a subscriber to the Arizona Daily Star to check out all of that stuff. We'll be having more Khalil Tate coverage throughout the week, of course. For Justin and Zach, I'm Michael. Here's Rich. We'll see you next time.
I'm sure you don't know all the behind-the-scenes details of what happened, but what was your reaction to hearing that Gary Anderson left?
Heard coming in. I think Gary's a heck of a football coach. I'm a little surprised that anything had happened at this point in the season. But college football and Division I college football and pro football, there's kind of a wild profession at times.